This Lenten season, we're approaching the question of committed to Christ, questions for Christ. We're hearing people who encountered Christ 2,000 years ago and what they had to say about their relationship. The question before us tonight, after listening to the testimony of Mary, is there enough evidence for us to convict her of being a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth? And as you reflect on the answers that Mary gave just a few moments ago about priorities in her life and her relationship with Jesus, let's let her responses and the questions that she encountered reflect on our lives. Let's ask ourselves those questions. Ask yourself the question, if you were asked the questions that Mary was asked tonight, would your answers yield enough evidence that you would be convicted of being a follower of Jesus Christ? Let's think about Mary a little bit this evening. We know that Mary was a sister of Martha and also Lazarus. And the time that Jesus came to visit their home when Lazarus died, that was not the only time that Jesus paid them a visit. The Bible tells us about another time that he had visited as well. From that occasion when Jesus visited Mary and Martha and Lazarus, we know that Mary liked to listen. She liked to listen to Jesus and his teaching. As a matter of fact, as Jesus was teaching, Mary sat there listening so much that her sister Martha complained to Jesus. She said, "Lord, are you going to let my sister Mary just sit there while I'm running around taking care of all the household chores?" It's like she was saying, "Lord, look at all these guests you brought into my house. I'm here waiting on them hand and foot, and my sister Mary's just sitting there listening to you." Remember that story? Remember what Jesus said to Martha, though? He replied to her saying, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." But it is easy for us to be Martha's, isn't it? There's a lot of things going on in life. We can be so busy with our everyday dealings in life. You know, there's work to go to. There's meals to plan and prepare. There's laundry to do. There's rooms to clean. There's lawns to mow. There's snow to shovel. There's cars to fix. There's maintenance around the house to do. There's bills to pay. And the list goes on and on and on. There's kids to chauffeur from one activity to the other. It's no wonder that we sometimes find ourselves spending such a long time away from God's Word and in prayer. You always accomplish, though, what you're committed to. You've committed to having your kids get an education, it's going to happen. If you've committed to doing a good job at work and being on time for work, it's going to happen. If you're committed to having a spotlessly clean house, it's going to happen. If you're committed to spending time with your Savior through Bible study and prayer and worship, it's going to happen. Jesus was committed. He had his priorities straight. Jesus said that the reason he came was to do the will of his heavenly Father. He said that he came to seek and to save the lost. He said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You always accomplish what you're committed to. Jesus was committed to those things, and he did those things. He lived a perfect life, and he was nailed to a cross. And he died as a sinless Son of God for you and for me. Now, you may experience ridicule for putting God first in your lives, won't you? Your friends might chide you a little bit for the amount of time that you spend at church. They might question you sometimes for how deep your nose is stuck into your Bible, or how much you give to spiritual endeavors, your hard-earned cash. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus made his commitment clear when he gave up his life for us. You know, as we may experience ridicule for our discipleship, Mary also risked persecution for showing hospitality to Jesus and his followers. She risked persecution, as you heard tonight, for giving support to Jesus and his disciples. Showing hospitality and giving hospitality is exactly what God wants us to do too. Listen to what God says through 1 Peter chapter 4. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied graces, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says, too, that we should excel in acts of love and service, putting God first in our lives through acts of love and service. In his letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul wrote these words: as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all circumstances, and in your love, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. You know, when Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, he encouraged them to outdo one another in showing honor. This doesn't mean, though, that God's telling us to serve and love and care for others so that we can boast about it. Not at all. Rather, just be like Mary and Martha. Look for opportunities to serve Jesus through loving and caring for others. Who knows where it's going to lead? Well, consider this. Consider the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. One of those very unique verses in Scripture that talks about showing love and hospitality to others. The person who wrote the book to the Hebrews writes, "Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares." That's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. priorities. What are your priorities? Well, this evening, we do know one thing, and that's Jesus' priorities. They are oh so clear. He knew exactly what he came to do, and he accomplished it. He came, he gave up everything for you out of love. Now by the Holy Spirit, may Jesus' love for you overflow in your life to be a blessing to others. Jesus says in John 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.